Blog Talk Radio.
Funny Business Band, brought to you by Tritone Music and Phil Cole. Google them. Google them now. Where are you at, Bova?
I'm just leaving Chuck E. Cheese. It's probably like the Chuck E. Cheese in Sheboygan, I would imagine. Where our friend Gilbert
Godfrey
is
playing.
Imagine
they're all the same.
Yeah, pretty much.
They have the signs up in there, I think. What's that?
It's a Germfest 2011.
It's horrible in those places, isn't it?
You know, kids are picking their nose, playing games, like you said, you know, kids aren't wearing their socks in there, and they're barefoot, and it's just nasty stuff.
Disgusting. It's horrible. Horrific.
Yeah, germ fest, fungus fest.
What else could grow on humans? You think anything else that might grow on a human that's not good?
Yeah. There was one time my daughters were actually very sick after we went to Chuck E. Cheese, you know.
Oh, sure.
And they weren't feeling good. I'm like, you know what? That guy's throwing Chuck E. Cheese.
Hate it. So. I saw some signs over there, that one in New Hartford up here in upstate New York. They got signs. I think Gilbert's coming to town.
Oh, Gilbert Godfrey's coming to the Chuck E. Cheese?
Yeah, I think he's coming to town over here. Yeah, I think he's going to do a tour. The Gilbert Godfrey Chuck E. Cheese 2011 tour.
What did I see on topics that Tom Hanks was in town?
What's
did you
that?
See that?
Tom
Hanks. What was he doing in town?
I don't know. Would you see that? Topics? It has to be true then.
Yeah. It's got to be true because I'm using the topics. There's nothing out there but truth.
No. Absolutely. Yeah. Holy cow. Have you ever read some of them topics in there?
Oh yeah. I've seen postings about myself on there.
All right. What'd you get? Did you get some bad stuff, some good stuff? What'd you get?
I got some good stuff on there about starting on that County character and things like that. But
God.
Well, maybe there are. I don't know.
Don't look. Trust me. It's not worth it.
Yeah. I post as myself on there, and a lot of people post anonymously because you can do that.
Sure.
So people will post on their... you know, there's somebody on there six foot six, 305 pounds. And if that's true, that's a very big guy. So that's a guy you don't want to get mad.
No, sure. I
six,
agree.
Six,
you know, when
six,
you
five.
First. Yeah, that'll do it. I'll get her done.
That'll
when
done.
I first, when you first said you were at Chuck E. Cheese, I just had this vision go through my head of a 6 foot two Italian guy trying to maneuver his way around them tubes.
Well, yeah.
I can see in the tubes looking out the window. Hey, Mike. How the hell are you going to get out of there?
I don't know. I'm stuck. Hey, if I had to go up there, if my daughters were screaming or something and there was a problem up there, I'd go up there. So.
I just hope like hell I'm there for it. That's all I'm saying. I've been times when I had to go up because my son, I don't remember. Honestly, it's all blurred together at this stage of my life. I don't remember if it was my son like umpteen years ago. I believe it was my son, though. He was up in one of them tubes, and there was a little incline. He didn't want to maneuver it.
Right.
So I was faced with the dreadful decision. I just let him stay up there until he does it or comes back. He was little, though. He was too little to let him stay in there and sweat it out with all these other kids. All the other kids are always climbing all over him. He's like the calm one. They're kicking him in the head, trying to get him down the slide.
Yeah.
It's horrible in there. Survival of the fittest in that thing.
Yeah. The kids are like, you want to push? No. One time my daughter got stuck down the slide at McDonald's. I had to go in there and, you know, I'm leaping over kids, you know, in the tubes. I'm like trying to get to my daughter. I get to her and slide down with her. I was like, whee! Wow.
Then you run into the little boy who's in front of you. His parents get pissed off.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, if my friends can see me now.
Remember those, what were those ones called? Oh, it was a horrible, dreadful thing with the ball pits, the Discovery, was it Discovery Zone?
Yeah, I think Discovery Zone.
Back in the day, and they did some testing on those those balls, plastic balls that are in there. Oh, uh-huh. God, they found everything on there. Every human
yeah.
production was everything, feces on the balls.
You
know, and then the places tried to pretend like they cleaned them. They had big bags in there, which never got opened.
Right. The only way you can clean those things is if you, like, you know, had a pressure washer filled with Lysol, you know?
I know, right?
Well, I mean, really, the balls were one of the things that were so cool. I mean, they used to have, like I said, it was probably Discovery Zone, but I remember the Cross Gates Mall in Albany had something like that where you could drop your kids off. Wow. Okay.
Really?
Yeah, you would drop your kids off, you'd shop, and the kids would have fun or whatever. But you know what's really funny is, why did somebody ever invent, like, a sanitizer? You put the balls in,
like a
dishwasher, because our dishwasher is really cheap or whatever, as a glorified sanitizer because it doesn't get the dishes clean. You got to actually wash the dishes and then put them in the dishwasher to get them clean.
Yeah. Preparatory. You got to prep them.
Yeah.
You got to do a little post-work. It's like, well, what am I doing here? I'm doing the dishes for my dishwasher.
Yeah, exactly. So I asked my brother one time when I was a little guy. I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, washing dishes. Like, oh, you got a dishwasher? He goes, yeah, you know, like, but they don't get the dishes clean, so I got to wash the dishes a little bit first and then put them in there. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So we're doing that now. So a dishwasher was $200. If you get probably a Maytag or a KitchenAid or something like that, where it, like, blows the dishes at 1,400 pounds per square inch, you know, when you open the door, there's probably broken dishes in there. Dang! We got to get flat.
Yeah. It's the ball pit idea is a good idea. They have a little thing, you put the ball in, it sucks it in, it sprays it with some Lysol and pushes it back out
yeah.
the other end.
Just,
like a pool cleaner.
Know, yeah, just put them in a,
ooh,
in, a
start a business.
Huge, in a big, huge dishwasher when it just sanitizes everything. Bang, it's done. You can stick like 1,000 balls in at one time. Boom, it's done. It doesn't take long to sanitize them. I don't know. People are crazy.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was talking to a friend of mine who you've had on the show, Laura Allen from New York City there,
mm-hmm.
co-founder of 15secondpitch.com. We were online a little bit earlier today talking about this coffee shop, and she said, hey, is the coffee shop still open? Because she's going to be coming up in June for a little bit. So we got to get together
yeah.
and get coffee. And I said, no, the coffee shop's closed because I gave him a bunch of ideas, and he never took the ideas seriously. He never implemented any ideas that I had. I had some great ideas for him too, and the shop was
yeah.
closed. I think only lasted about 2 years.
Yeah.
So, and I said, it's very hard, Laura, when you've got a Ben Stein personality. I mean, the guy's running the coffee shop, and he's monotone. So it's like, hey, how are you? Oh, I'm doing great, man. What's going on? Not too much. What can I get you? Lord God, wow. You know.
You fall asleep while he's taking your order.
Yeah. do you not drink coffee? You know, if I were him, I'd be drinking quadruple X espresso.
Prescription coffee. He needs prescription
yeah.
coffee.
Yeah, you know.
You guys need 20 cups of coffee today.
Right. And once in a great, great while, I would say something, he would crack a smile. And he'd be like, That's really funny. Why? I can tell.
If you have to say that's really funny, then maybe you didn't really find it that funny. You got to
yeah.
pretend like you're laughing inside and say, "Yeah, yeah, wow, that was wicked funny."
Yeah. I mean,
okay. Well, you could have laughed maybe to prove it to me.
Yeah. You crack a smile, you know, crack a big smile, and he's like, "Wow, that's really funny." I mean, that was his personality. I'm like, dude,
yeah.
you should not be. He was in the military for a while, and he's one of those guys that I think is introverted, you know?
Right.
I think he's the type of guy that you would sneak up behind him and tap on his shoulder. Ah!
Grab his pants if you tap on his shoulder.
Yeah.
A little nervous and jerky, maybe. Yeah, see, that's the thing, too. You know, business, when you're in business, people don't understand, okay? If you have a business, people buy from your personality as much as they do from your product line. If you can't,
yeah.
like, sell it yourself, you know, if
right.
you're not the kind of person to say, I mean, you know what, it's kind of annoying, McDonald's, when it's always saying, before they take your order, hi, can I offer you a freaking new slushy, blue and yellow lemon lime slushy thing?
Right.
And you're like, no, my God, I would have said that.
Yeah.
I wanted that. But they make
and
you think about it, and some people order it, you know?
Right. And it's a canned little thing, you know, because the
yep.
person comes out sometimes there's a guy, and then the girl's like, can I help you?
Yeah.
So,
a little recording.
suggest to sell at the end. You know, I used to suggest to sell all the time. So I worked at a place called Long John Silver's, and I also worked at Arby's, my two fast food places, you know. And so I get on the drive-thru. I would love doing the drive-thru. Hey, what's going on? You know, what can I get for you today? And people are like, well, what are you smoking, man? You know? And so they place the order, and they go, you want fries with that, don't you? Come on. Come on.
Let's see, that's better, yeah, right there.
Yeah, you know, so.
You want fries with that, right? Like,
yeah,
why wouldn't you?
You want fries with that, don't you? I can hear it in your voice. You're not saying it. I don't have enough money. I got some pennies up here for you. Take a penny and give a penny. I'll give you some.
Look in your ashtray. I'll bet there's money in there.
Oh,
dude, you can afford the dollar menu French fries, you cheap son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Come on.
I went to the car yesterday. I found so much change. I mean, my girls get in here and they pretend they're driving. So they'll get the keys off the wall. They'll come in here, stick a house key in the ignition, which I have to, you know, basically almost surgically remove. It's like you can't put a house key in the ignition, okay? Just
No, you can't.
You know?
Oh, God forbid if it breaks off and they're done.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. So, and I'm looking out all over the floor, and I'm cleaning up some things in there. I'm like, okay, well, here's a buck here and quarters. I'm thinking, man, I just struck it rich. So, you know those shows that tell you how to find money and all that kind of stuff? Just, there's so many ways.
Yeah.
You look in your couch cushions, you look in the car, you look in the ashtray, like you said. Now bottled water, the bottles are a 5-cent return. It's so funny because this guy, Sunday nights, he comes on our street and he goes through everybody's recycling, looking for cans. I'm thinking, man, I don't want that to be me. Even if I was, like, completely broke, I still would find a different way. You know, at 5 cents a piece, you got to get a lot of cans and bottles.
Yeah, you do.
Right?
Just to buy off the dollar menu, let alone buy a gallon of milk and some bread.
But you can't get off the dollar menu. You know, now some places, I went to Burger King last night because I go to this pizza place. Okay, here's a pizza place that's brand new, newly built, okay? And I'm thinking they must have slices. I go in there and I said, hey, I'm looking around thinking, this is not good. I don't see any slices. You got slices, man? Nah, we cooked to order. I'm like, you what? You're a pizza place. And he goes, yeah, we cooked to order. You want a menu? No. Do you want one to take with you? No, I'm never coming back. I want a stinking slice. So here's somebody that lost some business, probably about $6.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, because they cut the pieces, however, like in squares or something. You can't take a pizza and cut it in triangles and sell slices. I think that's ludicrous.
that you know what? That's a perfect example of a business that it refuses to do what people. You're standing there telling them what you want. You're a potential customer with money burning a hole in your pocket, and they refuse to take a knife out and slice. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You can't take one pizza, slice it the way I want it. You can't do one thing like that for a customer, a special request. I could be a lifelong customer. You know how many people lose lifelong customers over stupid things that take like 15 minutes? See, this is why entrepreneurs succeed, because they come in and they do things where the big guys, it's all cookie cutter, they got their formula, and to change one thing in a big company costs $1 million. Well,
exactly.
That's where the entrepreneurs come in, and they say, guess what, this guy don't want to slice it that way. That's all I'm going to do all day long is slice it that way.
Yeah.
He's smart. He stands out front of the other guy's place and says, yeah, here you go. Come on over. See my brochures.
Yeah. That's how inventions get produced.
Sure it is.
I know
a guy out here in Syracuse, company's called Cable Express, or it used to be called. It's called CX Tech now. What a great story. This guy started out of his garage, and he literally, he got some big data cable. It was like a foot around or something, really big cables. But what happened was it would connect to mainframes or something like that, and IBM would sell these things, and they would sell them. But the problem is it was a six-month turnaround time because they didn't have them available or the demand was too high. This guy, guess what this guy did? He went and bought 20 of those cables, which made some other business wait longer, which means they had a bigger need at that point in time because he got in line ahead of somebody. You got people waiting months for these extremely important data cables. He just loaded them up in his garage. And he went out to like 10 or 20 companies. He said, if you need a replacement cable, you come to me. I will bring it to you the next day. The guy has a $30 million business in Syracuse, New York right now called CX Tech. You can Google it. They do everything now. His name was Bill Pomeroy. Great story. Great business story. There's a lot of those around. You just got to look hard enough, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, necessity is the mother of invention.
Yeah.
So, but...
all he did was go a little bit out of his way with a big company. IBM didn't want to do it. Now, of course, they're not out of business. They're not going anywhere. But it made him a multimillionaire.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Because if one person needs something, other people are going to need it as well. I mean, you know, you were talking to a guy that wanted to advertise in the Herkimer area, and you know, we don't have any products to accommodate him of our own, but we have products that we can put him into. We can actually make a product, sell it to people, and put them into that market. So that's
what you got to do.
That's how, you know, companies and get birthed and ideas get birthed. It's creative thinking, outside the box thinking, that makes these things happen. So if there's a need, there's a business that can, you know, that can meet that need, and they can also meet other needs. They can diversify. We were talking to a guy today, and he worked for a company in New York City. The company that he worked for was a clothing wholesaler. But then they went to other different products. I think they were doing one product, and I think it was cherry cloth or something like that, and they were doing bathrobes. But then they branched off into doing other things, and they became really, really big. So, you know, you can start a company, you can tweak it, you can diversify, not over-diversify, and you can change with the times a little bit and kind of reinvent yourself, which a lot of companies aren't doing. They're staying with the same old process, doing business as usual, and before they know it, they're going to be doing no business.
Right.
Right? So keep doing business as usual. I mean, mainstream newspapers, that's their attitude. It's business as usual. We don't care what Mike Bo was doing. It's business as usual. Please keep doing the same thing.
Oh, yeah, sure thing. You know, it's like we talk about the newspapers all the time, right?
Yeah.
The newspapers are dying because they are so stuck in the past, not to mention the fact that I don't know if they all do or if it's regionally in upstate New York, but the writers have unions.
You can't
do anything. Yeah. Your company's inflexible. That basically makes your company inflexible. Now, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I don't want to have a whole union argument with anybody because I know there's guys out there right now that are biting. Oh, God, don't talk bad about the unions. Guys, you got to stop with the false loyalty to the old unions that did something 20 years ago. They did a great thing, okay? They really did. They did a great thing when people were being taken advantage of by companies.
Oh, yeah.
It's over. It's not, you know, there's certain benefits. Oh, my God, the government's forcing people to the 6 weeks of leave and all this other stuff. What the heck are the unions doing?
Right.
They're not negotiating for anybody. The unions are taking everybody's money, and they're going and they're running their political ads against. I don't care, name your side. I don't even care what side it is. Even if you're on the union side in a political argument, do you really think it's right that they're taking that money and just spending it the way they want to spend it?
No.
It's absurd. Now, businesses that are inflexible, this is why more and more companies are sprouting up, and you were in construction. Construction companies, more and more privatized ones, more and more ones that aren't going to use it, they're not going to have unions. So you're going to have a couple of big companies, four or five big companies that have to use unions, and once again, the entrepreneur comes up, says, guess what? I'm never going to have more than 9 people. Once I get to 9 people, they start talking about a union, I'm going to close that business down, I'm going to go open another business with 9, maybe the same people.
Right.
And I'm going to tell them, now we talked about the union thing, I had to close the company because you said the word union. Okay?
Right.
Now,
yeah.
I got a new company. Do you want to work for me still? Same price. And by and large, people are getting paid, I think, justifiably, at least close to what they're worth. Nobody thinks they're getting paid enough, let's face it, okay?
Oh, sure.
Nobody thinks they're getting paid enough.
Yeah.
But it really is at a point where the unions have become a huge barrier to us moving on.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. That's one of the things we'll look at for this whole UNY progress thing.
Yeah,
I want to kind of chase people to the show a little bit and let them know that we're talking about UNY, and they can download the show and listen to it or a segment of it anyway. But UNY progress, I mean, there's so many things that we need to fight for. New York State is a great state. Upstate New York is a great part of New York. I think from what I've heard anyway, that downstate pretty much takes care of itself. It does not the problems that we have upstate anyway. So, you know, those are the things you look at. You look at consolidation of schools. You look at consolidation of municipal services. You look at the consolidation of, you know, whatever that is. We look at reducing throughway tolls.
Consolidating police forces, the multiple layers of police. And you know what? This doesn't just apply to New York. This applies to every town and municipality and state that has a budget deficit and they're going broke, and there's quite a few of them. This applies to all of them. Everybody has to get efficient. We have to run government like we run businesses. And we need business people to run governments. We can't have people that never had an executive level, had never had to make a payroll. People got to understand that.
Right.
Doesn't work.
So, you know, there's so much overlap. Like you said, the police force, there's a lot of overlap there. And it needs to be really just thinking about the workforce. It needs to be more intentional. So basically, like, you know, the New York State troopers or whatever, they should be patrolling the major highways. The sheriffs should be patrolling the highways, like, you know, up here in Utica area, Route 12, Route 46,
on a
county level.
Mm-hmm.
The villages and stuff, I mean, really, we shouldn't see state police. And when I was growing up, you didn't see a state trooper ever.
No,
you know, for us it was because the county sheriff was up the street from me. You saw sheriffs going in and out of there, but really all you saw was Watertown City Police.
Right.
So, and that's what it was. I mean, if the city police force or the village police force can't take care of the people that are in that village, then there's a problem. But when you got to have county sheriffs and state troopers, it's like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? They could be doing something else, and we don't need that many police officers. And I have a lot of friends that are police officers, and there may be some police officers that will listen to the show. I'm sorry about that, but, you know,
it's not about them. It's about their bosses and the whole structure.
Yeah, they're not to blame, but the thing is, if they lose their jobs, what we need to do is we need to find other jobs for them, okay?
Right.
So, you know, I don't want to see anybody lose their job want to see, like, a door closed without another door being open for them. So,
absolutely, and you know what? In these parts, that to some degree is being done right now, and I got to tell you, there's a lot of pork barrel spending, but every once in a while, they spend it on the right thing. And what they have in this area, and maybe in a lot of areas, if anyone hears this from outside of New York, you might want to look into this, but the Department of Labor has freed up a ton of money for people who are not employed, and they're sending them to retrain them in this whole cybersecurity thing that's going on. We got one of them going on up here in upstate New York, as you know. And guess what? It's something that if you can't get work in your current field, you can actually go, and it's paid for and everything, and you can go and get retrained, learn something new, learn something different.
Sure.
It's just like when you own a business, you have to evolve and change with the times.
Yeah.
You can't stay stuck in the thing that's not working over and over and over again.
Right. You know, my tenant worked for a company for 15 years, and it was a factory type thing, and he got laid off, they downsized. So, you know, he was looking for factory jobs because that's what he was used to. But let's face it, first of all, there aren't many jobs out there. And secondly, factory jobs, you might as well almost forget about it. So you got to sometimes you got to bite the bullet. I mean, you might have to work at Walmart. You might have to work at Wally World for $10 an hour, okay, as a greeter. So that's where you start. But you don't end there either. You know,
don't end there. Right.
I'm going to be a Walmart greeter for the rest of my life. You know, and you walk into Walmart.
I mean, if...
and then it's like, I got to get my own car. It's like, hey, how you doing? Ugh. Wow. You are the nastiest Walmart greeter I've ever seen. Yeah, this dead-end job. Yeah, you don't end there, you know.
Do it to get by, and then get yourself trained, go to school, do something.
Sure.
But, you know, that's fine. I respect that. But, you know, there's people, and I don't know how many, and I'm sure it's not all everybody. When I got out of the Navy, I was on unemployment for a long time, and they extended it. It was a bad economy, you know. But at the same time, back then, it was more strict. It was more get yourself down to the office or get yourself.
Yeah.
And they would see how many – they would call people and make sure you're going on – job hunting, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't easy. I think it's gotten too easy, and it's too, it's like a life, it's supposed to, you know, we're supposed to have a safety net in this country.
Sure.
You know, we're not supposed to have a freaking hammock. It's supposed to be a safety net, not a hammock.
Yeah. That's a good analogy. Yeah. Hey, where's my hammock? Oh, it's right here. Oh, this is nice. I'm going to park it here for a while.
You got a pillow?
Nice.
Oh, man, this is beautiful.
Oh, yeah, between two coconut trees. And, hey, you got some SPF? Oh, this is the life. Oh, here's
oh
a Corona.
God, if I had bonbons, this would be perfect.
Yeah. And here's a six-pack of Corona. Oh, no way.
Oh, man, you just described me up to my camp.
Yeah.
You just described me up to my camp.
Yeah. It just doesn't get any better than this. And that's the thing, you know, listen, I never had the luxury of having my unemployment extended. For
right.
me, when I was on unemployment way back when, it was like 26 weeks was
yeah.
it. They
and the door.
They couldn't wait to push me out of the nest.
I know. Fly, birdie, fly.
It's like drop or fly, man. It's like it's going to be one or the other. What do you mean? Wait a minute. My 26 weeks is up. Can you give me some more? No.
I think I was going to work.
Do I have to beg and plead? It doesn't matter what you do. We're not giving you one more cent. So
nope.
You go now.
You're done.
Yeah.
You're going now.
You
may
go
have
now.
4 hours. You may have 26 weeks. You only took
you
soda.
You've 26 weeks. You take all our money.
You go now. No soup for you.
My tenant actually got about 2.5 years of unemployment. And then he became an age, or maybe his wife became an age, where they can get Social Security. So this guy hasn't worked in like, I want to say close to 4 years. Okay?
Wow.
And he's gotten nasty
crazy.
and you know. But and that's what happens, man.
Well,
like I can make money. I can pay my bills. You know, I won't have anything for retirement, but I can pay my bills, and I'll live off the system the rest of my life. I don't have to go to Walmart to be a greeter. Sweet.
Yeah, you know what? Too like I said earlier, it's like it's not even. It's kind. It's. I mean, you know what? To me, in a way, it's unpatriotic to take more than what you deserve. At the same time, it's the government. They're running commercials for food stamps in New York, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Did you hear that? They run commercials to drive people down to pick up food stamps because we're apparently not giving enough of them away. We're not meeting our quota like the cops up here. Your quota. Hey, remember one time you made the analogy. You said we said pulled over by the police in New York, and they said, you know why I pulled you over? Yeah, well, I'm guessing because you haven't made your quota yet, right? Imagine saying that just one time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
really...
I have a pretty good idea. It's because you got a quota to me.
Right.
Wonder if you get the ticket.
Well, here's what you can say. Listen, I'm just going to tell you now, my lawyer's going to get me out of this thing, okay? So you might want to just go back in your car and pull somebody else over.
And you know what? It's so much about the revenue, they might actually do that.
Yeah.
They might say, oh, really? Oh, okay, then never mind. Get out of here.
Yeah. I just want to tell you, I got a really good lawyer.
I'm
going
to call him right when I'm done here, and I'm going to get out of it before I even go to court. You understand this?
As a matter of fact, he's on the phone now. That's when you get pulled over for talking to your cell phone, right? And it's not when I pulled over, it's like, yeah, because I was talking to my lawyer on the phone. My lawyer.
Yeah. You just hand the cop the phone. Here, talk to him.
Yeah, you want to talk to him? Don't give him a ticket. You're not going to get him on. Okay. Have a nice day, sir.
Here's my lawyer. I was just talking to him about getting a ticket.
Yeah. Listen to this. Some cops.
Why did I pull you over? Because I was speeding and my registration, and I was talking on the phone, and I didn't have my seatbelt on, and maybe I've said too much.
Yeah, some cops are really lenient. Yeah, maybe I and the cocaine under the seat.
I forgot to mention the cocaine under the seat.
Yeah.
Oh, there's an unregistered firearm in the trunk. You might want to check out too.
Yeah. Why are you telling me all
I got a good lawyer, so none of this is going to happen, but go ahead and look at it if you want.
Yeah.
Take a few snapshots.
Sir, why are you telling me all this? I don't know. I watched the movie Liar, Liar, and I got convicted, I guess. I just got to tell the truth. So my wife and I are coming from Dibbles Inn in Vernon, which, hey, I'll be doing some marketing seminars there, summer marketing series. You got to go out Tuesday nights and catch these series July and August. But my wife and I were driving from a wedding, and we're talking along, we're having a good time, and I'm doing, I got the cruise control set at 65, because basically you can do 10 miles an hour over. Well, I didn't know the speed limit jumped down to 45 in some places, right?
Oh, that's not good, yeah.
You know? And he says, you know, if that's where we're going, I said, yeah, I have the cruise control set at 65. I said, you can do 10 miles an hour over. He goes, yeah, that'd be great if every speed zone was a 55-mile-an-hour zone. He goes, there was a couple 45s and 40s back there. And I said, you know what, I am really sorry. I said, my wife and I were talking and having a good conversation. He said, that's my license. And we had just moved from Herkimer to Newport. We never changed, you know, we never got a new license, but I wrote it on the back. So he looks at the front of the license. He looks at the back of the license. And he goes, oh, well, you know, you changed addresses, so I'm not going to give you a ticket. Excuse me. Have a nice day. And I'm thinking, is this guy, like, over quota or something? Is he busting my chops? Is it April 1st? Or?
It's like, you've been pumped.
Wow.
You're getting a ticket.
I got no ticket. I just got, you know, slow down, have a nice day, right?
When was
it? I'm driving out. What's that?
When was this?
This was a while ago. This is probably...
I was going to say, that don't happen anymore.
No. This is a while
You're
ago.
You're right. Every stinking damn ticket.
Yeah. Then I'm driving on Route 5, heading out towards Herkimer. Same thing happens. I'm going a little fast, as I usually do. If I could remove the lead from my foot, I'd be a lot slower driver. But I got to find out how to do that. So anyway...
that's a handicap.
Yeah. Different guy pulls me over, looks at the license, looks at the front, looks at the back. He goes, you need to get a new license. And I said, yeah, I know. I changed my address and everything. He goes, I don't know if he didn't want to be bothered, but he goes, I'm not going to give you a ticket. Have a nice day. I'm thinking, this is golden.
Yeah, what the hell just happened here? What's the number of that bus that just hit me?
Is this going to happen every time? Because I'll keep it just like this.
Really?
Yeah.
I talked to somebody today. Ah, stop it. The stupid delay on this line. You go, Mike. Go.
Well, what I was going to say was, like, this is my get out of speeding ticket free. You know, people have their get out of jail free cards. Like, this is my get out of speeding ticket card.
Sure. Good strategy. You got to have a strategy. Listen. Just to go around, yep. Just to ride around in New York State these days, you gotta do it with a strategy. You can't just get in your car and go someplace.
Yeah.
You gotta say, like, okay, let me make sure I map out all the speed limits on my GPS. I'll make sure I mark the speed limits because it is freaking crazy up here. The government has turned our police against us because they gotta get their quotas and they're all broke. There's nothing scarier than New York State with no money.
Oh yeah.
Because they are after us, all of us.
That is the first true statement they've made in a long time, saying that New York State is broke. I'm like, thank you for finally telling the truth.
They finally said it, right? Well, they had to say it. It's too obvious now.
Well, don't sugarcoat it. Oh yeah, you know, things are good. No, we're broke. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Because now we know where we are, and we need to make some changes in order to get back in the black again.
You know when New York State's not broke? You know when they're not broke, New York State?
When?
When they can't friggin' afford to run advertisements about giving money away. That's when they're really broke, okay?
Yeah.
Come on. They're coming after us for ticket money, and they're still running the friggin' ads for social services and food stamps. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I can't stand it.
Yeah. Yeah, hey, running you want to give away... Hey, we got some food stamps to give away. Anybody want them?
Yeah. We got too much money here, guys. Come on, come get some. What?
Free beer and cigarettes. Come and get them. We don't care what you're using for.
No, they don't either. They don't. They really don't. It's like we had a conversation earlier.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What can I buy with my food stamps? You can buy a hammock. Oh, no kidding. Yeah, you can buy a and you can buy beer... And cigarettes. Oh, no kidding. Oh, and some SPF so you can lay out in the sun.
Always. Oh, well, yeah. I mean, everybody should have the right to have SPF, right?
Yeah.
If we can have it, everyone should have the right to have it. Everyone should have the right to have a cell phone and a car because you can't get a job unless you have a cell phone and a car. And everybody has to have an email because you can't get a job unless you have an email. So everybody has to have a computer and internet access. That's all. That's all I'm saying, Mike.
I've heard of the right to bear arms, but I haven't heard of the right to not burn arms.
Yeah, that's it right there.
Yeah.
The beach. Oh, it's in the 25th Amendment coming up. Coming up in 2020, the right to not get sunburned on the beach.
Yeah,
it's called the Beach Amendment.
the Beach Amendment. You have the right to not burn arms. Wow. Free SPF for everybody.
But don't try to have a gun, damn it.
Yeah. New York
I forbid you protect yourself on that beach while you're drinking Coronas. Not going to have it. Not here.
Yeah.
It's out of control. Everybody should. They really are having those discussions, too, about it. Well, everybody has to have a car. Everybody has to have health insurance. I mean, what did the country do when everybody didn't have health insurance?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do we do when nobody had cars? What if people got on bicycles at one point in this nation's history? You know what? Guess what? Get back on the damn bike. You can drive that to go to an interview.
Right.
Take a shower in the bathroom at the business. I don't care. What the heck? You can't pay for everything. New York State, too. New York State's another one that's proven that the public health care can't work, because the whole fiasco for the health care in New York, that's going to come crashing down.
Because
they're advertising that, too. They're advertising that Child First Plus, First Help. I don't know what the hell it is, but they're advertising it. They're running ads, okay? Sending the taxpayer the bill for the ad to get people to come and get free if you can't afford health care. The problem is so many people take advantage of those things that pretty soon everybody's on it and nobody can afford it anymore.
Right. But
nobody.
My thought is this. Here's my thought on health care, okay? I think I've got the answer. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm right. Small business supposedly drives America, right? The business is kind of divided up into small business and large corporations. But I think small business, if I'm not mistaken, is about 70% of all business. Right? 70%.
Yes,
and I think corporations are free. So if that is the case, then why don't the insurance companies – see, I believe you know, the government needs to step in on a couple things, okay? Why don't they mandate these insurance companies to offer small business owners lower health insurance rates so they can actually afford health insurance, okay? So it's a matter of, you know, do you want more volume? I don't know what the percentage is. If it's 20% of small business owners have health insurance and 80% don't. But how about if it was 80% paying a lower premium that they could afford and 20% not paying it? And then because if a small employer employs people, they don't offer health insurance because they don't have any health insurance and their employees don't have any health insurance. So I think that if they made it affordable for small business owners that actually have insurance, because it's over, I mean, this is a few years ago. I'm going back a few years because I even checked it out for myself. It's over $1,000 a month. Who the heck can afford that?
Yeah, I mean, it is out of control. But the problem is it's a third-party payer system. There's no buyer-seller relationship. And when you cut out the buyer-seller relationship, nobody cares how much it costs. They don't shop around, and the whole thing falls apart, and that's where we're at.
Yeah. But I mean,
it's got to go back to a direct relationship between me, the buyer, and I know somebody that has to pay for his own tooth care. And guess what? He shops it around, and he tells the guy, this one's going to do it for $500. What do you got?
Right.
Okay,
exactly.
Who does that?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things I want to fight for and offer with doing my progress, I mean, I want to offer, like, a membership that's not very expensive, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
But I want the membership to UNY Progress to have privileges, okay? Like, when we get a group together that has, you know, like let's say UNY Progress has, I don't know, 20,000 members that are businesses.
Right.
Okay, 20,000 members, and we go to these healthcare companies and go, listen, we have 20,000 small business owners that don't have insurance. Okay,
right.
So we want to work with you, and say we want rates, and this is a buying group, and it's going to be through UNY Progress. What can you give us for reduced rates? Oh, I don't know, you know, $800 a month. No, you got to go lower than that. $600 a month. Now you're talking. You know what I mean? It has to be affordable.
Yeah. You know what else, too, Mike?
What's that?
You know what else, too, is that bring back the buyer-seller relationship. In our organization, we will give incentives. You will give incentives for people to shop it and give you three prices. The insurance company, if they use the lowest one, they get an incentive.
Right.
Shop it. You got to put the shopping back into healthcare. But yeah, no, great. Buyer power, buyer strength is power, but let the buyer save money and get a little incentive, a little kickback.
Yeah.
A little commission or something.
So
get three quotes for
some of the problems. These are some of the problems. And that's why insurance rates are so high. Another reason is, these frivolous lawsuits. Okay, I'm sorry about the lady, downstate in Gloversville or St. Johnsville or whatever the heck she was at the McDonald's, and she puts a cup of coffee between her legs and spills it. And listen, I'm talking $6 million. I mean, first of all, she
that
had
got
a great
reduced,
lawyer.
By the way.
What?
Yeah.
Really? To what?
Yeah, it got reduced down to a stupid $500,000, which is still stupid.
Okay. All right. So anyway.
They started at six to end up with one or a half, but it's still, are you kidding me? Why get a nickel out of it? She shouldn't have got a nickel out of that.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Zero.
You know what's hot? It's coffee, okay?
It's usually pretty hot.
You know what's boiling lava hot? When you open up the top, it's going to explode like a volcano, okay? And you put it between your legs, and I'm sorry.
Should not have your face, by the way.
This lady and her family might be listening to the show at some point. I'm sorry, okay? I'm just saying. You made a mistake. We all do stupid things. But to get even $500,000 for that, first of all, she had a great lawyer. But secondly, she couldn't perform her wifely duties and this other stuff. I'm like,
yeah,
this stuff is,
sure.
We need to, as a judicial system, cut that stuff out.
Yeah,
that's got insurance cost up.
Got to stop because think about what it is. You're supposed to say, look, if a reasonable person could say, I'll take a $500,000 and burn myself between my legs, I'll do it. If an average guy might say, yeah, I'd do that for a $500,000. You're supposed to say it's so horrible and heinous that, somebody's face is dismembered and they get $6 million. That's something you should say. I would not do that for $6 million. Right?
Exactly.
It shouldn't be something that you look at and say, yeah, I might do that for half. It's stupid. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
There's so many of them, too. So many.
It is absolutely ridiculous, dude. I mean, I cannot tell you how frustrating that is. I mean, I had a construction accident back in, I don't know, the early 90s, okay? I was actually doing a plumbing job with my cousin, working for him. And we're laying sewer pipe, we're in clay soil. The guy never put a shoring box in there, basically, which is kind of like walls, metal walls, so that if the bank collapses, then it hits the
wall.
Something
he should know.
Yeah, so there was no shoring box. I'm in there. I just set up to reach my pitch level, thank God, and the ditch collapses. Now, I got shattered ribs. I mean, only two ribs were left unbroken. Okay, everything else is broken up inside. I got a bruised pancreas. I got a collapsed lung. I got a broken shoulder blade, whatever. So, and I'm on rehab for 4 months. I'm in a hospital for 8 days. Four of those were in ICU. And now I got scar tissue. And what happened was there was so much scar tissue that these nerves that run around your back to your front, these called the intercostal nerves.
Yeah.
We're being pressed on by the scar tissue, and it's very painful. So now I had to go through these pain block sessions and whatever. And I had a crappy lawyer, and I won't mention his name because he really should be out of business, okay? But a crappy lawyer, and I don't know what his problem was, but they settled on the court for like $40,000. I wanted it to go to court, okay? I thought if somebody should be awarded millions of dollars, that's where it should be awarded, okay? When somebody when a doctor says there's going to be lifelong issues.
Exactly.
So, because who knows down the road what's going to happen, with all these injuries. Who knows what's going to happen? Is it going to be pain? I couldn't even lay on the floor on my side because it burned so badly. I couldn't have that happen to you. Right?
No, that is definitely one of those situations where $500,000 to me in that situation, because you got future issues you're going to face. Mm-hmm. I know from scar tissue, believe me, it grows. Scar tissue grows and pushes on things, and it's bad stuff. We got 33 seconds, so let's tell everyone, if you get a chance, go out to Facebook.com and search for UNY Progress and search for Mike Bova and search for me, Rob Thrasher. Go to CyberVillage.com, MadisonCountyCourier.com. Get your news from upstate New York. And we'll continue this conversation after we stop streaming live here in 10 seconds. So if you come back and down for it later, you can hear the rest of the show. And that's all I got, Mike. You got anything else?
I think that's about it for now, man. You know, with that, so we're going off live in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Yeah. And we're clear. So, hey, we're still talking, though.
Clear. Yeah, so I know, believe me, I know with that scar tissue. I have 14 years after one of my surgeries, I had to go back because the scar tissue was, it really grows. It's like a plant in there, and it can grow, and it can entwine itself around nerve. And when you get a nerve that's trapped like that, it's burning, horrible pain.
Yeah.
I got a pinched nerve in my neck right now, and there's times my whole right arm will go numb from it.
Right.
I go to traction, and it helps it, but it comes back and back and back, so... It's not good stuff, but yeah, you're right. You know, if that happens to a child, and I think this is the right thing to do. I know a friend of mine, his daughter was doing divers, his little girls, and one of them fell backwards onto this huge concrete freaking slab that was there for some odd reason, covering something or whatever. And her eyes went crossed, and she had some serious major issues. And then almost out of a miracle, she got better, and it was a wonderful thing. But the lawyer said, well, you're still going to sue. You're still going to get money and put in an account for this girl, because it is possible 20 years later she has headaches or serious issues with her brain. It can go 20 years. He says you're still. And he actually told them, if you decide not to sue, I will take it to court on her behalf. You don't even have a choice in that situation, because like you said, we're talking future issues here. Yeah, your lawyer sucked, dude.
Oh yeah, what a crappy lawyer. He shouldn't even be practicing. He should, you know. They have the bar exam. I know it's spelled differently, but he should be barred. You know, like
barred by the bar.
A different type of bar. Yeah, he should be barred. Yeah, from the bar.
You know, that's the kind of thing that I. You know, some judge should have seen that and said, "This guy's getting hosed over here. I'm gonna recommend that you go get a new lawyer, because this is not going well." You know, I know another guy, business guy over there, and he's. He's actually looking at getting a lawyer to sue a lawyer. Sometimes you have to do that. You know, you can have a lawyer sue a lawyer for negligence.
Yeah, I don't know a doubt about it.
You prove that. Yeah, you could get your money from him.
Sure, yeah.
If he's listening right now, he's like, "Hey, shut your face, Thrasher."
Right. Yeah.
Shut your pie hole. Does it still have any pain, residual pain from that?
You know what? I got to tell you honestly, I went to a woman's home group. It's actually her pastor's mom. And I went to one of her home meetings, because we have these small group meetings with the church, and I'm a firm believer in healing.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I take the pastor's mom and another lady were like, they were praying for me. And I said, you know, I've got a lot of pain and stuff and a lot of burning and whatnot. And they prayed for me, and I really felt completely better. And you know what? As far as I know, I don't have any residual effects from it. I can lay on the floor. There's no pain in my ribs, you know, really per se, and I can lay on the floor and not have burning sensations and all that. And it's been, you know, they prayed for me way back when, maybe like 96, somewhere like that, and I really haven't had, I've had very little pain at all. So, you know, thank God for that. So, I don't know.
Yeah, thank God, right? Yeah.
I can't imagine. And you know what's really funny is, you know, these pain block sessions, okay? You know, we got this new thing. It's experimental. I'm like, oh, what do you mean experimental?
Oh, no.
Okay.
I don't like that word at all.
I know I'm a guinea, but I don't want to be a guinea pig, okay? Yeah. Hey, how about we use the guinea?
I mean, we meant the guinea pig. Sorry, sir.
Yeah.
Don't want a guinea pig. Oh, my God. This is not going well.
Yeah. The poor Robbie Danger showed on me. Yeah, no offense, okay? So I'm like, well, you know what? Let me find out. What it was, dude, I don't know why the needle had to be so long, because the needle doesn't go all the way in. The needle, I swear to God, was like a foot long. Okay? Now maybe I'm...
Just for effect.
Maybe I'm exaggerating, but it seemed like it was like a foot long. And then I'm like, is that the needle? It's going to go through my body.
In 1 inch thick.
Yeah, so like, no, we don't put it in all the way. Well, thank God for that, you know.
Because that would be coming out my front end.
Yeah. Did it go all the way through my body?
We just wanted to squirt some of that medicine on the floor. But we had to go through your back and your stomach to get it there.
anyway,
no
they
problem.
Put needles in there. There was like 6 needles, you know, into my back or whatever.
Was it?
And then
yeah.
I could feel fluid running around from the back to the front. So I'm sitting down. I got a pillow on my lap.
Uh-huh.
So like hold the pillow and squeeze it really hard. I'm thinking this is not good. You got a bullet I can bite on or something? So
you
I'm doubled over.
You got a bottle of vodka?
Something to numb the pain. Okay,
a stick.
Yeah, you know, how's your pain on a scale of 1 to 10 with 10 being the worst? That's like 15.
It just went exponential, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. So they before they put the needle in, they go, listen, this is going to be really painful. I got to tell you, you know, like everybody that goes through this says it is one of the most painful things they've ever gone through. I'm like, are you kidding me? Why do you tell me now? You know, you could
tell me
on the
now.
Phone.
You didn't tell me that when you were pitching it to me.
Yeah.
Your elevator pitch.
Yeah. Where was that left out? Well, that was in the fine print. Yeah.
Yeah, probably was too.
Or maybe they think, like, those infomercials results may vary.
Yeah, that's all.
You know what I mean?
Maybe, you know, couldn't you ask them, like, could you mix me a cocktail? I mean, when you're at the right age and you got to have the camera go up yourself, they at least give you a cocktail or something. And
yeah.
Most people don't even remember it. I mean, like, you're going to have 10 needles. You think they'd have some kind of cocktail for you or something.
Yeah. You know, they call it, what do they call it, like the enema bar or something? Wow. Yeah. What's the next girl with you doing in a dirty place like this? I don't know. So anyway, I just feel so violated. So they got me over over this pillow, and they're like, they're kind of like, brace yourself. There's like 2 of them holding me down, 1 on each side of me. I'm like, they're holding me down.
Wow. Just 2 holding you down?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
You're like the Hulk. You
could
have taken 6 of them.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm like, they're holding me down, so I don't get up. And then they shoot this needle in my back. And I'll tell you what, dude, here's what it felt like.
Mm.
Put your ribs in a vise and turn the handle.
Ugh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Put your ribs in vice and just keep turning the handle.
That was the experimental part where they didn't give you anything to ease your pain. they were testing it on you with no pain medication. There we go. This is going to hurt like hell. We're going to hold you down.
Right.
Put these straps on his arm so he don't hurt nobody.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. So
doctor, that sounds like.
Yeah. It did alleviate the pain, I got to say. But it was so painful to go through. So in order to manage your pain, we have to give you a ton of pain, only for a short time, though. Oh. We'll stick 6 needles in your back, and then you'll be good. But the last time I went through this, I was at the doorway. I was going into my appointment, and I said, I can't go in there. That's how painful it was. I couldn't go in.
Oh, gosh.
I didn't make a confession, Doc. I just walked away.
Right.
Hey, listen, we got a new stop
at
the show. It's the starting of a vehicle.
Did you hear that? I didn't know if you heard that. I just ran it from the switchboard. Our budget's out of control here.
I think
I got 3 lined up now, actually.
I don't know if you can hear you still got the, who is it, the laughing lady, which sounds like a hyena, but I don't know if you can hear
the hyena lady?
Yeah.
No, I deleted her because Cole threatened to kill me. I would guess he's got sensitive ears or something.
You got the clapping audience? You probably got the clapping audience.
I don't know. You know what happened? That whole deal with the premium versus the regular account. If you go back to regular, it gets rid of some stuff, so I got to re-upload it. It's a nightmare.
Okay.
I got Gottfried. I got our Gottfried clips. Maybe I'll play us out with those.
Which one? The Aflac one?
I think I have 3 combined here. I'm not sure what it is. But we got about 7 minutes left.
Still not being here tonight.
Right? I know. I feel lonely. No, Gilbert? We need Gilbert back.
Yeah.
Gilbert,
and
please come back.
Cletus didn't call in on the show either. Cletus from Deerfield, which is a friend of a friend.
Yeah, Cletus. Yeah. I was surprised when he called in. I thought he was down south somewhere. And he tells me he's right up upstate New York in Deerfield. Apparently, if you do something bad enough to get kicked out of Alabama, the last place you can move to is Deerfield, New York.
Yeah, that's where they sent
I did not know this.
Alabama.
I did not.
You Deerfield.
All right. Good old Deerfield, New York. It's a beautiful, beautiful little, what is it, a village? A little village.
Yeah.
I knew a guy from New York City that didn't understand when I said it. I was from the village of Oriskany.
Uh-huh.
Oriskany, New York. He goes, village? You mean the town? I said, no. The villages are in the towns. He goes, are you kidding me?
Right.
So every day when I would come in to school in the Navy, in electronics school, I'd sit down, and he was always there first, and he would always put up a little Oriskany Village Times type of a thing.
Uh-huh.
And I'm pretty sure one of the names he used was Cletus sold his cow to Jethro last week. And
right.
He broke my chops all the time for being from a small village in upstate New York.
Yeah.
Anywho, I'm shot. Let's do some guys.
You know what we can talk about real quick? We can talk about the email that Barry Pierce sent about the revamping of the school system.
Yeah.
You read the email I sent to you, right?
Yeah.
It's something like there's like over 700 school districts in New York.
Yeah.
And his idea, well, I think he's on the right track, but I really feel like countywide schools is not the way to go. I think you consolidate some. I was talking to Dave about it today, the day we had lunch with, and
yeah.
He's an Oriskany graduate. You're an Oriskany graduate, right?
Yeah.
So Westmoreland's
right.
A small school. Oriskany is a small school. They're not very far away from each other. A consolidation like between Oriskany and Westmoreland makes sense.
It does.
But
but
to go from 700 schools down to 60, no.
Yeah, that's not going to do it. No, that's not. That'll just make a bunch of inner city like schools.
No.
We don't want
countywide
to go that far.
And it's like, you know, I can save, you know, that'll save $325 million a year. It would be total chaos, you know.
Yeah.
Why don't you basically see if you can cut down from 700 school districts down to like maybe 500 or something like that.
Yeah, right.
Find schools that make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, save taxpayers like, you know, some money on their taxes and stuff, because that would help alleviate some of the burden of school taxes.
You know there's tons of duplication that you could get rid of. Once you merge them together, there's going to be tons of things you can, you know, I mean.
But the thing is, what I want to do is get with Robert Freeman there, Bob Freeman, and I want to pull some records. I want to do a little bit of investigating to see it's supposed to be this information that can be disclosed. Is the money for the New York Lottery, where does that money go? Because, like we've been talking about, North Carolina.
Yeah, where does that money go anyway? Good question.
Well, we're going to find out. I mean, North Carolina funds their schools solely on the lottery. So the schools are completely funded on the North Carolina lottery. Is that crazy?
You know what, Mike?
I
have a sneaky suspicion that money's not being used for the school system.
Yeah.
Call me crazy. Call me a conspiracy theorist. I have a really strong feeling that money is not going where it's supposed to go, where it was promised to go. It ain't getting there, I don't bet.
Maybe the
commercials for the food stamps is part of that education money.
Yeah. You know,
I doubt it.
It's quite possible that money is being used for something else. And what is the percentage of that money? You know, how much goes actually to schools? Raising billions to educate millions, right? So.
I bet you there's 80% chance it's less than 1% or 10%. Less than 10%. I bet we find that out.
There's no doubt it's less than 10%. It's probably about, because I think the rule of thumb is it's got to be like at least 3 or something like that, so maybe 3%. I don't know. But I like to find out, you know, where.
So the question is, right. So the question is it even the 3, right? Is it even getting to the 3? That's a good question. And why is it 3 and not 83? Hello?
Yeah. You know, does it go to the BOCES, because there's you know, there's Atlanta Herkimer BOCES,
they're making a ton of money too.
Madison BOCES, Madison Oneida BOCES, Oneida Madison BOCES, and there's that money. Where does it go? I don't know. But
they're making boatloads of money too. Those BOCES are making boatloads of money.
Sure. So anyway,
boatloads.
That'll be the first thing I want to take a look at.
Right.
Stepping on toes.
Good.
Here we go.
Somebody needs to, because nobody is right now. Yeah,
no.
I can tell you the newspaper's not doing it.
No. No. Maybe somebody's going to the newspapers to keep them quiet.
That'd be fun.
You know what I mean?
That would be really fun to find out.
I don't know. But you know, people that I've been talking to online, you know, we're up to like 223 friends at last count. I've been talking to my friends one at a time, saying, "Hey, can you like our page?"
Good.
I see them on IM on Facebook, and people are like, "Yeah, I like your page, whatever." And you know, we think what you're doing is a great thing, and keep up the good work and whatnot.
Because
five, really, okay.